Hi, I would like to show a few chemistry experiments for you because I studied chemistry and I'm reading the wrong place for that. No, not in the wrong place with the wrong crowd, I guess. But I'm missing the periodic table of elements here. I will talk about OpenStreetMap stuff, of course, and about my demo I put together called VRMap that uses OpenStreetMap data in a WebVR environment. The slides are already up if any of you want to go to them. They're for the first piece up on slides.cairo.at. For the past, you can use the full, for future, you can use the full URL here. Short thing for me, I'm Robert Kaiser. My nickname in a lot of web places is Cairo. That's also my username on OpenStreetMap. I've been a mapper since, I think, 2007, I saw on my profile. My email and website are up there. I'm a Mozilla Tech Speaker. This is the Tech Speaker's logo, in case you wonder what I'm wearing here. I'm a volunteer for Mozilla who goes to conferences and talks about web technologies. I'm based in Vienna, in Austria, and I'm not on most social networks if you look for me, but I am on a few smaller ones, including Telegram, which we're using here for some of the communication as well. Look to the slides if you want links. So what do we want to get from this talk? For one thing, I want to show you the cross-device nature of WebVR or WebXR, the ease of use of the A-frame library or framework, whatever you call it, and the ability to use OpenStreetMap data in an environment like that and how to use it. So first, I said WebVR or in WebXR, what do those words mean? WebVR is web reality powered by web technologies, which a lot of people may have seen virtual reality devices like Oculus Go or HTC Vive or different headsets or even those phone-mounted things like Gear VR or Google Cardboard or things like that. You can actually power those with web technologies. It's evolving right now into the WebXR device API, where XR means mixed reality, or some call it extended reality, basically virtual and augmented reality put together into one standard because they're very similar in terms of what you need in technology. It's a proposed open standard in concert with WebGL, which some of you may have heard of, Web Audio and Gamepad APIs. And in terms of browser support, we have support in Firefox release on PC, on Windows and Mac. Linux is in development, mostly because the drivers for the headsets are pretty shaky on Linux still. And then there are some graphics patches for Firefox that are still needed. Chrome has some experimental support in development versions that you can turn on with a flag, and standalone headsets like the Oculus browser here in this headset, or Firefox Reality, which is a browser for standalone headsets, or Samsung Internet, and on the HoloLens, the version of Edge that is on there, those have support for WebVR as well. So it is actually supported for multiple browsers. On the PC, for the PC-connected headsets, it's pretty much Firefox only right now, though Chrome seems to be working on it. So one thing I would be interested in is who of you has been developing any code? Or who has not? Of those who has not done any HTML editing? One. Okay. So everybody has at least seen how an HTML document works, and that will be very helpful. Because we will come back to that when I get to the to how this is built. A demo WebVR map is, as I said, using WebVR with live OpenStreetMap data from the Overpass API. We will see a little bit from of that as well. It's usable in 2D mode on any modern browser. So you can open it on your phone, your PC, in Firefox, in Chrome, in Edge, whatever, in any modern browser, and you will see a 2D window into the 3D world. But if you have a headset and controllers, you can fully immerse yourself into the VR experience with those. It's using the A-Frame framework. I will come back to that later. And it's pretty simple. It's about 80 lines of HTML, most of which are actually the intro dialogue, and then a little bit of very important code that sets up the scene, and about 600 lines of JavaScript, which is not too much, because some of that is very simple selectors on how I estimate, for example, building heights. And some calculations to transform coordinates, which if you have worked with OpenStreetMap data in some way, or map data in some way, you know that coordinate translations are something you need quite a bit. So let's go into the demo right away. When you open it up first and you saw the URL, you can call it up yourself if you want to. It's on vrmap.cairo.at. So if you go into it at first, you will get this introduction dialogue where you can select a few scenes here. It starts in front of the building I live in. So unfortunately, you know where I live. But on the other hand, I run a business and I need to publish my address for that anyhow, so it doesn't change a lot. So you can load a few things here. I did not add Heidelberg here. I did not get to that. But say I want to load New York, say load location, it loads up New York, and then I can see it in 2D mode here. I can use the WESD keys to go or fly around in the scene. And if trees are in there in OpenStreetMap with a pretty good data set, you actually see different heights and sizes of trees, even different kinds of trees, if we have needle-leafed and broad-leaf trees. And different building heights, as you see here. This is the scene from where I live. As we saw in New York, you actually have some building colors where OpenStreetMap has colors on the buildings. On the ground, you have the Mapnik layer for additional orientation. And there's also some limits to this. You may have seen Paris here. If I turn around here, you may see some limitation of how I render stuff. I hope it actually did load this, or did it not? I seem to not have the thing that I wanted, which is bad. Should be over there somewhere. Because it should have the Eiffel Tower here. Oh, it did not load buildings. Let me try and reload it. Because I think we should have the time for that. Because I did not see any buildings, I only saw trees. Yeah, now we got it. You will see one limitation that I have in there, and that's that. That is the Eiffel Tower. Not exactly how you know it, but the only thing I'm doing there is I take the area on the ground and extrude it to some height. And of course, that doesn't give me the form of the Eiffel Tower. The color is right, though. OK, so now that we've seen a little bit of it, let's see what I did there. So for one thing, and that's especially interesting in this crowd, I assumed that the world is flat, and actually in two ways. There's no curvature to the Earth, and there's also no hills and valleys. But before the flat Earth supporters rejoice too much, I actually had to respect where you are on Earth, because the tiles in Mercator projection are different sizes, depending on how far north or south you are. And I actually have to respect that to get the correct size in the environment. The units in the VR environment in A-Frame are meters, so I need to get the correct size of the tiles in meters. And as I said before, I'm using the Mapnik tiles via a tile cache. So I'm actually using the official OpenStreetMap rendered tiles, but via a tile cache that I operate myself to not get too much load on the OpenStreetMap servers. And then I have, as you saw, trees and buildings in there from the overpass API. What VR also needs is a camera and controller setup that allows you to see your controllers in the right shape as you have them and to be able to move in multiple ways in the scene. And as I said before, it's built with the A-Frame library, which was originally created by Mozilla. It has now been taken over by the community. And that A-Frame library makes it really easy to build something. So that's actually one thing I forgot to preload. Did it? Okay. No. Did it load it here? Yeah. So just wanted this loaded. So I have the code here for a very simple A-Frame preview, and that's this scene, which is just a sphere, a rotating cube, a cylinder, and plane on the bottom. The code for that looks like that. It's very simple to understand, even if you only know HTML. It's not the official HTML tags, it's some modified tags. So you have an ascene tag, which means your scene is inside this. And the sphere is just a sphere tag, the cube, a cube tag. This is an earlier example for A-Frame 0.8. The newer versions have animation as an attribute and not a tag inside a tag, but it works pretty similarly. Cylinder, you see the plane, the sky is basically a sphere around you that you view from the inside. So you just need some HTML tags and you can get something. As I'm running a little bit short on time, I will not go into a lot of the code details. There's one HTML file with the basic scene and all the includes and start dialogue. And then there's some JavaScript files. The most interesting ones there are the tiles, trees, and buildings that load the actual objects. And most interesting of that, the trees and buildings. That's up on GitHub. So I want to take one look into the buildings, because for OpenStreetMap, there's one interesting thing there, and that is, how do I get to the height of buildings? And you see some variables I put there to actually estimate the height if there's no height tag on the buildings. And so I use the levels, and that's the first variable you see there, that I'm estimating 3 meters per building levels. So if there's not a height tag, I look at the levels. If that's not there as well, then I go down to defaults based on the building equals something. And if that's also not there, then I go to just some standard height, which I think is 10 meters. Unless the building is very small, then I have some heuristic that I don't want to go into, because that's a bit more difficult to talk about. So basically, if you have done any JavaScript, So this is the height calculation. If you have done JavaScript, you know things like that. That's how I'm creating the element for the building. The A entity is more or less what the div element is in HTML here, so it's a generic container thing. I'm giving a class just for myself, for being able to take care of those. And then I'm actually accessing the underlying 3.js library to build the geometry there, because buildings have pretty different geometry based on their data, and I need to deal with that. That's actually not done here. That it's done in the registered geometry. The code for someone who has done JavaScript stuff, the code should be pretty easy understandable, I hope. If it's not, please ask me. So to recap, we've seen how those technologies, WebVR, WebXR, can be used on different devices. You may have loaded on this demo on your mobile phone. You saw that it worked there. You saw the 2D version there. For my talk, you have to believe me that it works in here. But afterwards or outside, you can actually try it out yourself in the Oculus Go headset. Ease of use of A-frame, you saw that you can use HTML tags. You can then attach JavaScript to those. You can, of course, also build those tags up with JavaScript. And OpenStreetMap data, you saw it used. Please look at the code or ask me for details on how. You will see the very simple overpass queries that I'm using. I just wanted to get to the end here and just see if you get to this slide, because I really want you to take the code and try to use it for your own ideas. There's two examples here. Someone who tried to load models that are linked in OpenStreetMap and get positioning info on how to position it exactly in the map. That's the Tune 3DMR. And the OSM Rail is someone who built an environment where you can ride a train through the virtual environment, basically. And that brings me to the end of the talk itself. I will jump to one thing in the code here, because I mentioned it, and here I think it's a good idea to do this. And that's, was that in? No, in buildings I only build it. No, here it is. I was in the right file anyhow. So this is how I'm building up the overpass query. So way that has a building tag on it, relation that has a building tag on it, both with the bounding box, then out body, resolve it, out scale QT. That's you have to look at the overpass documentation for the details, but that's what I'm using here. And then I convert to GeoJSON, but we don't go into that in detail right now. So that's it. Let's get back to this slide. Do we have time for questions?
We do. We do have a couple minutes for questions
here. So if there's any
here.
Questions, please feel free to ask.
Great presentation. I was just curious with the roads layers. And it seems like most of it is still 2D, still pretty planar. Do you have any functionality with dealing with the layer tags, so having roads underneath or bridges at all, demonstrating that through the VR?
I did not put any code for this into it, but it's possible. Yeah. You could also load some model of the terrain and then use that information, but then you need to respect the height information to put the buildings in different heights and so on, because it doesn't know physics-wise where the building lands. So that's why I assumed everything is flat to make it easier to code this. Mm-hmm. But it would be interesting to try and use a terrain model and then get heights and get bridges and whatever in there. Mm-hmm. I just went with the most simple thing that I could also demo on right. on a session like this.
Cool, thanks.
And you, while the microphone is going around, you can load 3D models. So you could load a pre-created terrain model, for example. Mm.
What information could you, is worth adding to the map to make this virtual reality models better?
So what I found here was that it already helped quite a lot when I went around in my area and mapped how many levels the buildings have, because that gives you a more realistic picture of how what the height of the buildings is. Of course, exact height of buildings would be even better, which sometimes is available from open government data, but not everywhere. And when you're going through the street yourself, building levels is much easier than to find out how high this building is, right? So all those things that make it easier to get the height of objects is really the biggest missing piece that I see right now. Because we have pretty good information when it comes to 2D, but the one-third dimension would already be a big step to get some information there. And that's missing in a lot of cases.
One last question.
If there's none, feel free to come up to me. You can view it in the device and call it up yourself. Try to play with the code. I'm really happy if people make something out of it.